Well, good morning again. Glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. Did everybody have a good Easter? Awesome. Awesome. Glad that you are with us. If you are visiting with us this morning, we are especially glad that you're here. And really say this every week, but I really mean this. I hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. I hope you feel His presence. Even if you're come every week, I still hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are visiting with us, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. I invite you to fill that out and leave it with us. You don't have to do that, but sure would love to know that you are here. Immediately after church, we will have an all-church informational meeting. I will bring everybody up to speed. Some of you have probably been reading some of the ongoings of our United Methodist denomination. I will bring you up to speed on where we are in all of that and how that might play out and how it might affect us here at Wiley Methodist. If you fill out the blue card, you can leave it in your seat there. And you can, if you want to be on our email list, you can put your email down there and check the little box that you'd like to be on our email list. And again, right, we'll give immediately after the service, I'll give everybody kind of a minute to have a little potty break, and then we'll come right back in here into the sanctuary and have that meeting. Anyone is welcome to stay. You do not have to be a member of our church if you want to stay for that. Alex, where's Alex? Alex, I'm going to, at the end of my sermon, when I sing the last song, will you come forward and we'll receive you into membership then? Awesome, awesome. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, it's right before 2 Peter. That's very helpful, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 9 this morning. Now, this is the same Peter, just bear in mind, the same Peter who denied that he knew Jesus. Jesus predicted it and said he was going to do this. He denied him three times that he knew him. And then the rooster crowed, and we know that. I love this thought that when Jesus was resurrected and Peter knew what he had done, don't you know that when Peter heard the news that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead, don't you know there was a little bit of things going on in his head like, uh-oh, you know, like I denied that I knew this man and he's God. And yet, Jesus greeted Peter with, peace be with you. Don't be afraid. Peace be with you. I love that. And so, we know that Jesus had also said that Peter had proclaimed Christ, Jesus as the Christ. And we'll get more into that in a moment. But Jesus said the foundation of his church would be established on that. So, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. You are indeed welcome here. And we ask that you speak now, speak in power and authority, and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, I got this idea several weeks ago for this series that I'm getting ready to start. One of the things that seems to be in our culture, and so many people, you know, I've heard it myself many times, people will say, well, I don't go to church. I haven't gone to church in 40 years because just a bunch of hypocrites. And it seems like what we hear in the news and the media and many times from the pulpit is the things that the church is against. This series that we're getting ready to start for the next few weeks, I'm going to talk about what the church is for. So the series is called The Church Is For. The church is for, and today's message is glorifying God. The church is for glorifying God. So I want to start out this series by talking a little bit about church. What is church? Now, church is not a it's not a building. It's not an institution. Everybody take your right hand, point up your index finger. Now point. That's the church. That's the church. And I mentioned this just a moment ago, but in Matthew 16, Peter is asked, actually all the disciples are asked by Jesus, who do you say that I am? Everybody else says, has all of these opinions about who I am. Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Christ responds by saying, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, he's not talking about, many times this is misinterpreted in the scripture, he's not talking about he will build the church on Peter. But the church, you and I, the believers in Christ, that will be built on the fact that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is the foundation of the church. Now, so if you look at the Greek for the word church, when he says on this church, on this rock I will build my church, that word, the Greek word, is ecclesia, which means that properly a better. You like? I failed English. Can you tell? I was going to say a good, and then I got in. It's even better than good, but never mind. My mom didn't help me study for that class. What can I say? Right, Mom? A gooder definition of that is called out ones. The church, ecclesia, the called out ones, the ones that belong to the Christ. They're called out. There's something that's called in us. And so again, he's not talking about that I'm going to build buildings or institutions, but I'm talking about you, the called out ones of Christ. So that's the church. So as we talk about what the church is for, we're going to look at glorifying God. And so I want to dig a little bit deeper into this scripture. First of all, the church is chosen by God and belongs to God. The church. Now, every time I say the church, I want you to think that he's talking about you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we're not talking about somebody else out there, some you know, all these other people. Where he's talking about you, the church, you. You are chosen by God and you belong to God. This passage today, Peter says you are a chosen people, a people belonging to God. Does anybody remember? I actually don't like this when you do this to kids. Anybody remember picking teams? I was fortunate because I was always tall for my age and big, so I didn't typically get picked last. But I don't like that where, you know, it's like, well, we got two captains. I mean, y'all have done this, you know, where there's kickball or whatever it was going to, you know, that you were going to play, and you got two captains. Well, I'll take him and I'll take her. And you go down and you got that last little kid that's standing there, usually the shortest one, the smallest one. And I don't like doing that. But here's the deal. You are chosen by God. Don't you just love that? I mean, he could have chosen anybody. He chose you. He chose you. And this for me, the imagery is that this orphanage, and I've used this before, but God walking through this orphanage, and he's got all of these orphans that don't have anybody to belong to, and he comes to you and he says, I choose that one. God chose you. You are a chosen people. In Ephesians, Paul says it this way, for God chose us in him before the creation. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons, and I in parentheses, daughters, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. So it was his good pleasure, it was his will, where he chose you because he loves you. Jesus says in John 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Over and over and over, we see God's choosing of us. Now, I want to read to you Galatians 3. Now, this is interesting to me as we think about, I'm going to frame this just a little bit, that the Jews were God's, somebody say it with me, chosen people. God's chosen people was the nation of Israel. Now listen to this. Galatians 3, it says, you are all sons of God. Now, this is interesting, not because it's going to reiterate that we're not talking about male and female here. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Don't you just love that imagery, that clothing ourselves with Christ? There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What is the promise? The promise God gave to the nation of Israel was, I will be your God and you will be my people. I choose you. You are, church, take your finger, point. You are a chosen people. You belong to God. Secondly, the church is chosen to be royal and holy. To be royal and holy. In this passage we looked at today out of 1 Peter, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now, as I think about royalty, I think about that to have royalty requires a king and subjects. And in this instance, you know, in England, it's a big deal. The royal family is a big deal, you know. And I think Kate's supposed to have another baby this week, this month, right? And so it's a big deal. And it's like, if you can, in our limited capacity to really get this, it's like in their case, you have to be born into the royal family. But in our case, God chooses us. He adopts us. He brings us into that royalty. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now, Scripture tells us that we're to be holy because He is holy. 1 Peter 1 says, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. And in Ephesians 1, for God chose us in him, chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. There's a purpose to him choosing us. He's chosen us to be holy. Now, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, which, by the way, John Wesley, I can't even imagine what he's thinking on the other side now about things that are going on. But anyway, that's another topic. But his emphasis was Christian perfection, going on, moving on to Christian perfection. Listen to a couple of the quotes that I just ran across from John Wesley. I'd never heard this one before. But I love this. What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. Ooh. It almost sounds like John Wesley's reading our mail, doesn't it? What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. And then he another quote, I continue to dream and pray about a revival of holiness in our day, in which each person can be unleashed through the empowerment of the Spirit to fulfill God's creational intentions. So God, when He created us, when He chose us, He had intentions for us. He had intentions for us. And part of that was that we would be a royal priesthood, that we would be a holy people. Now, and that leads me to the third point I want to talk about today. The church, remember, is you. The church is chosen to bring God glory. Now, this passage that we read today, I'm going to read it again. I want you to watch for it now, because we've already talked about how we are chosen. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That's who we are. But there's a purpose to who we are. So that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. So He has chosen us. We have been adopted into His royal family, and we are to be a holy nation, a people belonging to Him, so that we can declare His praises. So it's to bring God glory. You know, everything that we do, church, everything that we do or think, whether it's in private or whether it's in public, whether it's in our mind or whether it's in our behavior, should bring glory to God. People, if all people hear from the church is this, for lack of a better way to say it, just nagging about sin. And trust me, there's a lot of it to nag about. There's a lot of stuff in our world broken. But if that's all they hear is that what the church is against, and they don't understand, and it's just so beautiful that Carlene's children's sermon saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And if they don't hear that message, because that is the message that draws people unto God, to brings glory to Him, is that He loves them. Listen to Ephesians 1. In love, God adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given to us in the one He loves. So this adoption, and when we are a holy nation, when we live it out, it brings praise to Him. Another passage in this, Jesus' own words. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. And I hadn't even had a chance to talk to my mom about this, but I noticed your trees coming out in the backyard. I was over there yesterday, and she has had trouble with this particular spot that she planted a tree two or three years ago, and she planted a red oak, and it died. And then did you do a second red oak, I think? Or did we go straight to the pistachio? Okay. You're so shy, Mama, over there. Anyway, we've had trouble. There was a tree planted there, and it died. And we got another, and these are big trees, and got another tree in. And at the end of last year, it was the first year it was in, and it was looking pretty rough at the end of the year. And we both were like, I don't know if that's going to come back. I was over there yesterday fertilizing that tree, and I looked up, and all the limbs are alive. They're all coming out. They're all beginning to bear fruit. And it was a sign. It brought glory to the tree. I mean, it was like, look, I'm alive. I have something to say here. And I was thinking about that. And He chose us to bear fruit because that brings glory to Him. You know, I guess the question is, so how are we doing, church? I ask that question a lot. So how are we doing? Do we realize that we're a chosen people? Do we realize that God has called us to be part of His royal family? Do we realize that He has called us to be holy, and He has called us to let our fruit, the fruitfulness of our lives, bring Him glory? How are we doing with that? If you would, just bow your heads with me. Father, we thank You, first of all. It's so humbling that You have chosen us. It is so humbling that You, God, the Creator of all things, You flung the stars in the sky and You spin the world on Your finger, and yet You love us. You are mindful of us. How humbling that is. May we, Your church, may we conduct ourselves in a way that brings You glory. May the world know that You live because we proclaim it in our lives. Father, we love You and we need You. And teach us to be like You. In Jesus' name, amen.